And then do we have an audio echo?
Sorry, I'll get this further away.
I think you need to turn off the microphone on your computer. If you're going to appear on two platforms, on both venues, you have to turn off the microphone on your computer.
Can Sonia mute him from her end?
It's muted. I think you want to turn down the sound on the computer so there's no volume and you'll just hear
the
phone.
That's what it is. Thank you. All right, I'm going to go ahead and try to get started. This is the January 24, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. I am Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner for 10 cities and counties on contract. And I am the Thurston County Hearing Examiner, which gives me jurisdiction to hear and to decide the items on today's agenda. Here at 10 o'clock, we are considering file number 2021-102035. This is a request for reasonable use exception by Scott Gustafson related to real property addressed as 9948 Johnson Point Road Northeast. Today's virtual hearing is being recorded, and that recording is a crucial part of the record of this fact-finding hearing. So I'm going to be trying to protect the integrity of the audio, and we'll be asking for folks' help with that. Please do mute your audio when you're not testifying. And try to make your environment as quiet as you can when you are testifying so we can hear everything you have to say. I will ask folks to testify one at a time. The first time you do, I will ask you to please state and spell your name and then give me the correct job title or description by which I should identify you as your relationship to the case and its findings. I will be asking everyone to... Okay, so we now are having some audio feedback. Miss Katie, how does he, oh, he's on a landline, isn't he? Okay. Well, we'll see what, we're having quite a bit of feedback and I think that's going to be a problem. If it continues, Mr. Bonds, I'm going to ask you to turn the meeting off on your computer.
Yeah. There we go. Great.
Thank you so much.
There we go.
Sorry, I'm almost done with these introductory remarks.
No, you're good. You're good. That's my. Okay.
I just wanted to just let everyone know, of course, I will be asking you to swear an oath the first time you speak. In an application for land development, the burden of proof belongs to the applicant, which means the applicant is the party who must present evidence that demonstrates the criteria for permit approval are satisfied. However, I will hear from county staff first. And please be aware, environmental health staff has notified us that they have to leave at or before 11 o'clock. So I'm going to be prioritizing getting testimony from that department. There is an opportunity for public comment in this meeting, and I think we do have one attendee. No. Okay. We'll check on public comment when we get there. If there is public comment, staff and the applicant will have a chance to respond to it today verbally with testimony. But please understand, Mr. Bonds, that in virtual hearings, I do hold the record open for 2 days to allow for post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who want to participate but are unable to do so for technology or access problems reasons. And so that means members of the public would have 2 days after the hearing to submit written comment. And if we got any, the applicant representative and staff would have 2 business days to respond to that post-hearing comment. At the end of the hearing, I will tell you that post-hearing schedule in detail.
Got it.
Great. With that, I'm just going to ask you again to try to make sure we don't hear too much noise from your phone line. And I think we're ready to go to testimony, but before we do, I just want to say staff did provide me with some information so I could be prepared. The first exhibit in the record is the staff report. It will be exhibit 1. On page 10, there's a list of attachments A through M, as in Mary, and I did review all of those documents, attachment 1, and it's exhibit 1 and its attachments are admitted. With that, let's hear from the county planner who is not in the meeting.
We lost. Let me call him real quick.
Wow, this is an unusual amount of technical difficulty for one hearing, but we'll see if we can get through. Mr. Bonds, I don't know if you can't tell, but
Mr. I can hear you just fine. I've done hundreds of Zooms. I've never had it not do that before, so
I'm strange.
Not sure what happened.
Yeah, so Mr. Chalem has dropped off too, so Miss Katie is contacting him.
Okay, no problem. Oh, that's fine.
Please stand by.
We've been been 2.5 years so far, so I'm being patient as can be. So everyone's doing the best they can. So
that's the truth. Thank you for appreciating it.
Yeah. COVID kind of threw things for a loop a little bit, so.
I'm going to try a cell phone next. 1 second.
I would hate to have to reconvene this. I hope we can wrap it up today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it goes.
So again, the dead air on the recording is just because we've lost our planner and the hearing clerk is trying to get him back.
So he's in the office and the internet kicked him off. He's back on. And if it happens again, we'll call from the landline there.
I just have a quick question. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. It was the microphone was in Zoom.
So
the settings were in the Zoom app.
Okay. You can hang up your or there we go. It's muted. Okay. Now. Well, let's keep it on in case we need to. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
We're good now?
Yes, I can still hear you.
Okay, jeez Louise. Okay.
I apologize. It looks like I have full bars now, so I should be good.
Okay. All right. Please go ahead. Let's have you introduce yourself for the record, sir.
My name is Craig Chum. I'm the Compliance Unit Supervisor for Thurston County, and I am the planner assigned to this project.
Great. Would you state and spell your name just for the record.
That's Craig Chalem, K-R-A-I-G, Chalem, C-H-A-L-E-M.
And I'll swear you in, sir. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Please go ahead.
All right. You provided an introduction. All that information is accurate. Received a copy of the staff report. It is marked Exhibit 1 with attachments. There are some corrections and clarifications that I would like to make at this time.
Thank you.
First clarification is going to be on page 1, just the aerial photo that is provided. I'm calling that Figure 1. And then on page 2, the zoning that depicts the zoning and shoreline designation, I am calling that Figure 2.
Okay.
And the project description, the applicant seeks approval of a reasonable use exception to reduce the standard 50-foot geologic hazard area buffer to less than 20 feet on the rural Thurston County shoreline to accommodate a deck. The deck is described by the applicant's representative to be approximately, and this is a correction, 36 feet by approximately 14 feet. I'm asking that the applicant have an opportunity to provide more information, details regarding the deck. Also with some corrections, there is an application that was originally submitted And that application has the questionnaires, the master application and the reasonable use application. Reasonable use application actually does reference what the deck is to be used for in part of the narrative. And that was a veterinary use, like a veterinary clinic. That is not being considered at this time. That is not part of this hearing. Also, I want to comment on the site plan. There are two site plans provided, and they are K and L. And you'll notice in K that shows the new deck area approximately to the existing foundation of the garage that has since been rebuilt. The garage was destroyed by fire, I believe, in 2018 and was approved to be rebuilt and has done so. This deck is in addition to that structure. It was originally planned, but was caught by assistant planner Abby Adams as part of the building site review. And that's when we realized it required a reasonable use exception. But on that site plan, you'll see it says new stairs. Those are not part of this application either. It should be noted that those are,
Okay.
All right. Going on with the background. See, I put this would be on page 2 under background, paragraph 2, second sentence. The property itself slopes upwards starting at an elevation of 16 feet for approximately 50 feet at a greater 40% slope from the northwest to the southwest. So I wanted to be sure that everyone, anybody who would listen to this was clear about the direction of the lot. And then also, I already corrected that one. You see in paragraph 3, same page, that's where I provide a little bit more detail in relation to the applicant states the deck was hoped to be built during the structural restoration, but was flagged by assistant planner Abby Adams during the building site plan review phase. Now, notification for this project was sent out on or before January 13th, 2023. A environmental evaluation under CEPA was not necessary for this project as it was not in or over water and is residential development. Going on under department analysis, A, underlying property zoning. The parcel is a legal lot that was created through a plat of Johnson Point recorded January 9th, 1967. It is consistent with the code as a legal existing lot. For consistency with the Shoreline Master Program, the proposal is located in a rural designated district, and which does have an impact on the critical area ordinance review, as the critical area ordinances sections that apply are 2415, 2425, and 2430. The code states that the rural shoreline shall be regulated by the master program. That's in Thurston County Code at Chapter 24.25.050. And then also, Northwest Inventory 2 for wetlands does show a wetland for the property in the mud flats, but there is no facultative function. It does not have a wetland that would be impacted by this development. One of the other things that I wanted to note was part of the reasonable use exception under 2445, there is a list of 8 criteria. The application that was used by the applicant was provided back in April of 2021. These questions are different from that shown in the code. They're very similar. And so if we were to read through them, the applicant's response is more or less consistent for these questions as they are to those shown in the staff report, but you may have questions about those. I understand that, and I am available for questions. I'd also like to make a comment on agency comments. Public Health and Social Services Department is recommending approval. Public Works Department provided no comments. And then other than a Public Works engineer, geotechnical engineer, Mark Beaver provided comments and said, which is in attachment H, and accepted the geotechnical report. And then also the Nisqually Indian Tribe submitted comment letter, that's attachment E. And they did ask for a cultural resource survey to be required prior to any ground disturbing activity. It is Thurston County's custom not to require such studies when there is no SEPA required. And then also the footprint of the proposed disturbed area doesn't seem to support that. Staff is not supporting such a thing, but understands that, you know, that decision rests with you, Examiner Rice. And then also under the department recommendations on page 9 of 10, I would like to strike J as it is repetitive. I apologize for that. And then finally, in attachment C, as mentioned earlier, this was a part of the original application. It's a narrative for the project. See on the front of this memo, this is from Kevin Fendel, Designs and Permits. Mr. Fendel is no longer part of this project. This project is now being represented by Mr. Chris Bonds, who is in attendance today. Also on this page, you will notice that the second paragraph in this description has been struck out. That's because it described the use of the deck for veterinary practice, which is not to be considered as part of this reasonable use exception. And I believe that is all of my statements and corrections with the staff report. I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I do have quite a few questions, actually. I'm going to ask a couple of them and then we'll go to environmental health just to make sure we get all that testimony in. Mr. Challum, so just to confirm my understanding, the deck is being added onto the existing detached garage, correct?
Yes.
Does this deck actually result in impervious surface area on the ground or above the ground?
That's a good question, and that's part of the details, the description of the deck that I am asking the applicant's representative to elaborate on.
Great, I will note that. I just want to make sure I'm understanding some of your analysis on page 5 of your staff report. You, at the very, very top, so the bottom, the last sentence that starts on page 4 and completes at the top of stage 5. Page 5, you said the current development location was selected to minimize landslide hazard impacts by locating the structure per geotechnical setback recommendations. This is a statement in your staff report. My question about it is that the staff report basically says the geological hazard extends to the footings of the existing garage, no setback is required. I'm just confused about your characterization as conforming with recommendations when the geotechnical report doesn't make any recommendations.
Right. However, the geotechnical report as part of this application, which is on that real quick, that would be attachment I. And yes. Then All-American Geotechnical Report. This report was speaking specifically to the foundation of the garage and describes the characteristics of the slope and its geologic makeup. And on page 9, it says the 50-foot buffer goes through the pre-existing footing as vegetation will not be disturbed and factors of safety are acceptable. The buffer should be waived. So I'm going to ask that the applicant's representative provide additional information as to about the deck itself and where it will be placed and how the footings will be placed, but that the geotechnical report stated that the setbacks could be waived in this instance due to the stability of the slope of the site.
All right. I wasn't sure if I was missing something because of the way that it was written, but I think that I didn't. So thank you for going through that. In discussing the wetlands, which in your testimony you clarified are in the mudflats, before that I didn't have any idea where the wetland was, and I don't know what it means that a wetland does not have a facultative function.
Meaning that there's not, two things, that there is separated by land, there's a division of a bulkhead, and it doesn't, like other wetlands in marine environments or even in freshwater environments, transition from the water to the land and has a facultative function with the with the vegetation. It's basically a direct relationship that does not exist here. And I only note it because it was actually, I saw it as on geodata and I felt that it was noteworthy.
Okay. And so, and that's why there's no critical area report addressing the wetland because it's separated by a bulkhead.
Yes.
How far is this wetland from the location of the deck?
Approximately 155 feet.
And it hasn't been classified or delineated, so we don't have any information like what type of buffer the critical areas ordinance would require if one was required, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I'm almost done with questions I want to ask before we get to Ms. Peebles. I just want to make sure she has a chance to contribute. So the only critical area under consideration for the purposes, well, the two critical areas that are under consideration for the purposes of this reasonable use exception request are the slope setback, the geological hazard slope setback, and the marine riparian area. Is that correct?
The rural shoreline area, as it's, and I think I make a note in the staff report. On page 3C, critical areas, that first section about midway through, actually it looks like it's the second sentence. Typically shorelines in the Puget Sound require a marine riparian habitat area width of 250 feet measured from the edge of the ordinary high watermark, except for rural shorelines as designated by the Shoreline Master Program for the Thurston region. 1990, these rural shorelines shall be regulated by the master program. And that is in TCC 24.25.050.
Okay, and your interpretation of that information is that there is no marine riparian habitat area protected by the critical areas ordinance. It's excluded specifically by that.
So that the criteria doesn't apply.
Yeah.
But the criteria in this case does not apply due to the rural designation.
And so there really is only a geologic hazard setback under discussion.
Yes.
Thanks for going through it. Right. Thanks for going through it all the way with me. Okay, the other question that I think we should discuss before I hear from Ms. Peebles. If the staff report identifies both attachments K and L as site plans, is either one of those documents viewed by you as the site plan for the deck proposal?
Well, I basically reviewed them in tandem. I used both of them as part of the review.
Okay. One of my questions, where I'm going with this question is that typically in a reasonable use exception, when development is proposed within a regulated critical area or buffer such that an RUE is triggered, there's a site plan that shows what the actual impacts are going to be. I don't see any actual impacts on either of these site plans in terms of the measurement of the deck, the actual area of land that's occupied. So I don't have a site plan that shows what's actually proposed. Is that right?
That would be attachment K. And but K provides, it basically shows the new deck. And that would be, if you're asking me to make a determination right now, I would say that this would be the site plan that we use, but it has nominal details, which again, I asked the applicant's representative to provide additional details for.
All right. In a reasonable use exception, it's typical for your department, the planning department, to recommend a condition that says development subsequent, if approved, development pursuant to this permit shall comply with the approved site plan. I noticed we don't have that recommended condition here, and we don't have a site plan here, and I'm just struggling with that distinction.
You are not wrong. There was a little bit of struggle with this. They did not intend on having to go through a reasonable use exception. They submitted this application back in 2000 and what was it, 2001. And they were, and I think it's part of the narrative that states that they wanted to apply for and see if they can get the reasonable use exception before they spent the money on the materials or the deck design. Chris Bonds to provide additional details for that.
All right. Okay, I'm gonna break. I have more questions for you, Mr. Chell, but I'm gonna break and go to Ms. Peebles, and then I'm gonna find out if Mr. Bonds has questions for Ms. Peebles, just so that we got that tied off.
Yeah.
Could you introduce yourself for the record?
Dawn Peebles, Senior Environmental Health Specialist with Public Health and Social Services, Environmental Health Division.
And do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Testimony you'd like to give?
Yes, Environmental Health did review the project and has recommended approval. Our communications are included in the staff report at attachment G. As previously noted by Mr. Chellum, our review was specific to the dock, the deck itself, and not any future intended use of the deck. Also, just for the record, you identified a site plan at attachment L,
yes.
And that is the septic system record drawing or as-built that's on file with the county. The septic system does have a required operational certificate that has expired. It recently expired last year in 2022. Our staff did visit the site to complete a dye test for the system and observed that there were some access issues to the drain field itself that the homeowner was working on repairs to gain access so that septic professionals could, you know, inspect the septic system and then file the appropriate records. So I'm bringing this forward just for the applicant to be aware that our department will be following up on that operational certificate, and ultimately would fall under condition A on page 8 that reads that all Thurston County environmental health conditions must be fulfilled prior to issuance of the building permit for the deck.
So does that mean that septic operational certification has to happen before the deck building permit can be issued?
I'm stating that the applicant needs to be working with our department directly to resolve that issue. That's why I think it does fall best under condition A at this time, rather than a separate condition of approval to be added.
Not clear on that. On your answer didn't answer my question. Does the septic operational certificate have to be brought up to date before the deck building permit can be issued?
And that's what I'm having, because there are unique circumstances to the situation. It's my understanding that the stairs are not safe for access to the Glendon pods, which are the drain field. Yes. And that there was a tram that was the only method to get to that area, and that the homeowner was working on repairing that. So
that's happened since then. So we can get it up to current. That's not a big deal.
Okay. I'm just asking what the department's recommendation is, Mr. Bonds, but I need to understand what EHD's position is. So the answer is, you're kind of equivocating. The answer is
no, based on that information, because I did not have a current status of what's been done on the site to make repair and gain access. If access is available, then the OPC does need to be reinstated prior to issuance of the building permit.
Okay.
I apologize for confusion.
That's okay. I'm just trying to make sure I'm clear on what you're saying. The other question I had for you is, I understand very clearly that that there is no veterinary use of the contemplated deck currently proposed, but in your department's recommendation or review letter, you've included a condition that addresses it, and that condition is not included in the recommended conditions by the planning staff. That condition need to be added or no?
No. Okay. It was a comment based on the original application. Our comments were drafted in June of 2021. So the revisions have removed that information.
Great. Thank you for clarifying. Is there anything else you want to bring to my attention?
Not at this time.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. And with that, unfortunately, I am going to have to sign off. But if anything does arise, I'm happy to provide any response after the hearing.
Before you run, can I just ask, Mr. Bonds, do you have any outstanding questions for Ms. Peebles about her testimony about the deck only, not about the septic
system? Okay. No.
Thank you. I just wanted to give you a chance. So thanks, Ms. Peebles.
Thank you.
I have to go. All right. Mr. Challum, so now understanding that attachment L is the septic as built, it does contain some more specific information than K does, but of course it doesn't include the deck. So is it appropriate for me in the exhibit list to re-identify that as a septic as built and to not call it a site plan?
Yes, that would be reasonable.
All right. So returning to the question of a site plan, is typical for an RUE to require construction and compliance with the site plan. So would it be appropriate to add a condition if this RUE is approved that says prior to construction and prior to building certificate or building permit issuance, the applicant shall prepare a complete site plan that contains all necessary information that shall be reviewed and approved, and then construction shall comply with that site plan. Is that an appropriate condition to add here?
Yes, That'd be a very appropriate condition. Thank you.
All right. And then at that point, we would have all the final dimensions, et cetera.
Yes.
Question, the applicant has offered to or proposed to provide mitigation for impacts. And I'm not sure what impacts are being proposed to be mitigated.
Any impacts caused by work on the slope. And in addition, the applicant, as part of their narrative, volunteered to remove invasive species. I believe that included working with the neighbor and replanting with native vegetation. This would enhance the stability of the slope. And as they offered, I believe that it's appropriate that it be made a condition. And it'd be consistent with other shoreline regulations and the master program.
Great. I have two questions about conditions that have been recommended. And then we're done. Recommended condition E says, plantings must be installed prior to final occupancy or a bond or irrevocable assignment of savings in the amount of the cost of mitigation plantings must be submitted. Is there going to be a deck certificate of occupancy issued?
There's always a final inspection performed for all building permits issued by the county.
So it would be prior to final inspection approval for the deck.
Yes, and I'm sorry, I often use those terms interchangeably. That's just me. It should read final inspection.
My last question for you is the basis for your condition H. It says spaced split rail fencing sections and or critical area signage shall be placed along the landslide hazard areas on site at the 18-foot buffer line as a safety measure. That's the first time that 18-foot buffer line has been mentioned, and I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, that I should have corrected that. That I would like to strike that 18-foot and ask the applicant to describe the placement or propose to put the split rail fence at the top of slope outside, well, to provide a recommendation for where they would like to put it.
Okay, so your department is suggesting or is requesting that a fence and signage be required, but where it's going to be placed, you're asking for applicant input.
Yes, but it's not inside the actual critical area. It has to be outside, away from the top of slope, but exactly where, like the applicant to provide their proposal.
Okay.
I believe that they are prepared to do that today.
Great. Then we'll hear from him on that. Anything else you want to bring to my attention, Mr. Chalam?
No examiner rice.
It's Chalam, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You said it right. That was very good.
I just get confused, and I only see you like twice a year, if that, so I forget how to pronounce your name. Thank you very much for your testimony. Let me quickly check in and see if Public Works wants to contribute anything to the record, sir.
I have nothing to add at this time.
All right. Just, it's without swearing you in, Mr. Sander, I just want to confirm, obviously, well, nope, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear to tell the truth?
I do.
Mr. Saint, does the deck trigger stormwater drainage review?
It could. It appears to be a deck that's a wood deck. Water can go through. If that's the case, then it would not, as that would not be viewed as impervious. If it does, this site already has a drainage system, and I'd imagine it would be connected into that existing system and tie into the existing drainage. So we have no concerns about that if it is tied into that existing system with the roof anyway. So.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bonds, it's your turn. Sir, okay. Can I please have you state and spell your name for the record?
It's Chris Bonds, CHRISBONDS.
Thank you very much. And do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Mr. Bonds, did you have a presentation you want to make? Do you want to address questions I've already asked? Or should I ask this list of questions?
You go ahead. Yeah, I'm painfully familiar with this whole, yeah.
Great. What is the correct dimension for the proposed deck?
It's basically 36 wide by 14 deep.
And this will be attached to the existing garage structure, correct?
Right.
How far above grade?
About 8 feet. It changed it from, it goes shallow on one side and deeper on the other. So an average of 8 feet.
Average of 8 feet?
There are less. It's less on the, if you're looking at it from the water, it's less on the left side, and the maximum is a 7'6" on the right. So it's probably average of more like 7 feet.
All right. Square footage for the footings?
That's to be determined with the help of the geotech and engineer. Based on if this approval goes through, then we would consult with those two. It would either be, there's good soil, really good soil about 5 feet down. So one proposal was that we drew like some kind of pilings that would go down. Typically they're, you know, a foot or less. And that's one idea. The other one would be a continuous footing on top that's also tied into the ground. But between the engineer and the geotech that's already been out there and did test holes, then they would have a recommendation to make it as strong as possible.
Got it. So the answer is we don't know yet. We won't know until it's designed.
Yeah, you know, and the design and engineering work costs a lot. So before we designed everything and had it, we were trying to get approval, but that's our intention, is to stick with the plan and do what we've been talking about.
Great. What's going to happen on the ground below the deck?
It has grass there right now. So that would be the idea, is to maintain the grass. And then the ivy is the other thing that's not ideal for hillsides. It looks like it's holding stuff, but it doesn't really do much. So they're talking about there's better options for native plants that would help the hillside just maintain, you know, staying, you know, put in the heavy rain situation. So.
Okay. Status of the dog-related use?
Say that again?
What is the status of the dog-related use?
The guy that owns the house, he's a veterinarian. And at one point or another, he's changed. He's almost retired now. So he's, you know, at one point had grand. He makes prosthetic parts for some animals. So it would be an idea to, at one point, to help someone get their animal used to using that prosthetic piece. But it's because of COVID. We applied for this before COVID. And now since COVID, there's just not enough vet techs to maintain doing what they're doing. So that's, that whole idea has passed.
All right. Any idea, pardon me, any idea what kind of equipment would be needed for construction of the deck? Will there be heavy machinery on slopes?
Just people. There's pretty limited access on both sides. So people, maybe, shovels.
Do you agree with Mr. Challum that the location of the deck is about 155 feet back from the bulkhead? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just was checking that as we were going. It's right at that number.
Okay. And you heard me clumsily ask Mr. Challum about a site plan. Right. It would be, if I were to grant approval of RUE, it would be my intention to add a condition that requires a site plan that clearly calls out locations and dimensions and all that. Do you have any questions or concerns about that?
No, I mean, there's so much information, at some point it gets a little hard to read. So that's why it's, you know, there's only, at some point they just quit adding things on and add a different page, but we can combine them, no problem. And it's super clear to me because I'm familiar with the project, but we could clarify like, you know, all the, they have a checklist for the site plan. So we just make sure everything's checklist. It'll be fine.
Okay, great. In your responses, maybe they are Mr. Gustafson's responses. In the written responses to the RUE criteria, it is stated a couple times that the deck represents an equal trade-off of impervious surface area within the buffer. Was that you?
Well, there was an existing greenhouse down at the bottom. And this is 2.5 years ago, we were talking about, like, if we do make the deck impervious, what if we removed the impervious surface down below to have like a trade-off? So we're taking the same square footage. So there's no change in actual square footage of the structure, or, you know, no of the, of actual impervious on the property, because it would just be like there was like a sidewalk and a greenhouse that equaled about the same amount as the deck.
Do you know, is it now contemplated that the deck would be wood slats that would allow water to pass through or to be impervious?
Yeah, I mean, it would be like more like a composite, but, you know, something like that. So, the other thing with the impervious one was just to maybe have some storage underneath, but I think he would be fine with either way.
Okay, so it's not proposed either way at this point. It could go either way.
Yeah, we haven't, I mean, that was the thing. If it was impervious, we would need to make a trade-off for something else on the property so that we would be equal. That was the idea.
All right. The last thing is, Mr. Bonds, can you provide any more explanation of how the project complies with the first two criteria for reasonable use, which require an applicant to demonstrate that there's no other reasonable use of the property unless reasonable use exception approval is granted?
There's definitely no, I mean, you can't, there would be nothing else to build there. Is that what you're saying? I mean, more from my perspective, it's more of like a life safety issue, because there's a garage door there that opens up to like a, you know, 7-foot drop off. So right now that's locked, but it would be nice to have that secured.
All right. The way that the criteria have been interpreted in the past is pretty onerous. This is a pretty extreme grant of relief from something that's denied by the critical areas ordinance. And so no other reasonable use of the property as a whole typically would be hard to prove in a situation where there's already an existing residence and a detached structure on the property. So I guess I'm looking for more explanation of why the deck is required for the property to be reasonably useful.
Oh, just mostly because of the drop off there. And so, you know, when we built the thing, we turned in those plans with the garage door in the front and a garage door in the back. And so the idea was that, you know, to be able to use that garage door safely, it would be nice to be able to stand, you know, walk out and stand on something.
So the other one that I had questions about was number two. Number two says no reasonable use with less impact on the critical area or buffer is possible. And the response that was provided either by an applicant representative at some point was there are several uses that might suit a different owner, but the intentions for this project are specific. So that's about the owner. It's not about whether or not it's possible to create less impact on the critical area. Can you help me out?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm like a little lacking for like what specifically I could say to that. But I mean, if a person needed to get out of the garage going that way, it would not be possible right now. I'm not sure if Greg has any other ideas on this, but the what we've talked about is that the use of that whole point of rebuilding that garage the way it was submitted was to be able to you know, one, have, you know, take advantage of the view. That's one idea. But also just to be able to, when you put in this garage door with intention of being able to walk out, and it's right now it's not possible to do.
And so the, why is it, just struggling with why it's necessary to walk out on the slope below the detached garage?
I mean, if there was a fire there at one point, so if there would be, you know, a way to get out of the building, that would be a good idea. Like a life safety issue to be able to exit. Like if there was a garage, you know, parked that was on fire and they couldn't go out that way, you know, maybe that would be a way to, for them to get away and be safe.
All right.
Or if the neighbor's garage caught on fire and then caught that garage on fire while you're inside and couldn't get out. That's what happened before. And that, you know, caused this garage to burn down as the other neighbor's garage was on fire, and it spread to this one. So having a reasonable area to get out of the building, that would make sense to me.
Okay. Making note of that. Thank you. Anything else? Do you have any questions or concerns about the recommended conditions of approval?
No, they seem reasonable.
Anything else you want to bring to my attention?
We're good. I mean, it's been a long haul, so we're just happy to have everyone helping with this.
All right. Let me check with Ms. Katie. Do we know whether anybody who's an attendee wants to testify for this matter?
I'm not sure. We did have someone sign in, Chris Hare, but that was towards the end of this hearing. We could go ahead and ask. But I'm assuming they're for the next one.
Let's ask.
Okay. Chris, are you able to unmute yourself if you'd like to testify for this project?
All right, we'll let that go. It's very likely that they're here for the Thurston PUD project. Let me just go back to Mr. Chalam. Anything else from the county at this point in response to applicant testimony?
The only thing, other thing that I would add is that this, Dick, that this is a somewhat unique circumstance, and that especially within this neighborhood, decks off the back of structures is common, and that the area behind the garage where the deck would be placed is previously disturbed, and that allowing the deck to be built would also allow, provide an incentive to enhance that shoreline environment and remove invasive species and thereby strengthen or make that slope more resilient to any catastrophic failures, which would also be in the neighbor's best interest, as there is a similar structure right next to it, very, very close. And that's one of the reasons why I believe that they would be working together. So the neighbors are also aware of this, and as to best of my knowledge, no one had any concerns. And that's all I had to add. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bonds, any final comments before we close the record?
Nope.
All right. I will take the testimony offered and exhibit one with its attachments A through N, as in Nancy, I said M earlier, but there is an N. Those are admitted. We will close the record, and this will be our post-hearing schedule. As I said, I know we're not expecting a lot of post-hearing comment, but I'm going to hold the record open in case there is any. There's two business days, so the record is held open through January 26 to allow post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who tried to join the meeting to provide testimony but were unable to do so due to technology or access problems. If no post-hearing comment is submitted, the record closes on January 26th. The decision becomes due February 9, 2023. If there is post-hearing comment, it would hopefully go to either Ms. Katie, the hearing clerk, or Mr. Chalam, the planner assigned. They would forward it to Mr. Bonds for response. Both staff and the applicant would have two business days to respond. That's January 30th because of the weekend. The decision issuance deadline becomes February 13th. I will forward this schedule to Ms. Katie after today's hearings. She can send it to you in writing and post it online to let people know. I appreciate everybody's time and attention to this matter. This hearing is adjourned. Thanks for sticking with us, everyone, and working through the technical difficulties. And everyone, take good care.
Thank you.
Rather than make people wait any longer, this is January 24, 2023, Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. This is the 11 a.m. project. This is project file number 2022-101768. It is a request by Thurston PUD for a special use permit to improve an existing water utility facility at 4623 Marvin Road in unincorporated Olympia, Washington. Today's hearing is being conducted virtually. The Zoom platform is creating a recording of this hearing, and that recording is a crucial part of the fact-finding hearing record. Please help me make sure it is audible by muting your audio when you're not testifying. And when you are testifying, making sure your phones and other things are as quiet as you can make them. I will be asking folks to testify one at a time. When it's your turn, I will acknowledge you and ask you please to state and spell your name. Give us the job title or state your relationship to the case by which I should introduce you in the findings. I will ask you then to take an oath to tell the truth. For the record, I haven't stated this in this hearing yet. I work on contract for Thurston County and 9 other governments. I am not a county employee. I don't have any personal, professional, or familial interests anywhere near the subject property, and I have not had conversations with anyone regarding the merits of this application. Just wanted to state those disclosures for the record to assure everyone I can issue an impartial decision in this matter. Of course, the burden of proof does belong to the applicant, but I will hear from county staff first. Staff will make a presentation. I might have a few questions for staff. Then we'll hear from applicant representatives. They have a chance to add to, challenge, or correct anything that's been stated by staff in their presentation to make sure they are confident I have all the information I need to determine whether the criteria for permit approval are satisfied. After that, we'll go for public comments. I will ask members of the public to present their testimony, and the rest of us will make note of questions and concerns that are raised. After everyone who wishes to testify has done so, then we will have responses, first from staff, last from the applicant, because it's their burden of proof, and then we will be done. I will take the matter under advisement and issue a written decision 10 days from the close of the record. Again, as in the previous item, the record will be held open 2 business days to allow post-hearing written public comment from anybody who was unable to join this meeting for technology reasons, and we'll go over that calendar in detail at the end of the hearing. If there is post-hearing comment, staff and applicants would have a chance to respond in writing. Before the hearing, staff did provide me with a packet of information so I could prepare. The first document is Exhibit 1, the staff report, and attached to it, as spelled out in detail, on the last 2 pages, 10 and 11, attachments A through S, as in Sam. I did have a chance to review those documents. They are admitted. With that, and without further ado, we can go forward with testimony. I believe I will hear from planning staff first. Sir, if you could unmute, state and spell your name, give us your title, and allow me to swear you in.
Scott McCormick, Associate Planner with Community Planning and Economic Development. It's S-C-O-T-T-M-C-C-O-R-M-I-C-K.
I'll swear you in. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Thank you, and go ahead.
Okay. We're here for project number 2022-101768. Proposals for a new 30-foot diameter by 20-foot high concrete water reservoir to replace 2 smaller reservoirs. The project applicant is Thurston PUD. The representative is Doug Peel with Thurston PUD. The location is 4623 Marvin Road, Olympia, Washington. The site is 47 acres in size. This project proposes a new 30-foot diameter by 20-foot high concrete water reservoir in order to replace 2 smaller, older reservoirs. The interior volume of the new reservoir is 100 105,700 gallons. The existing pump house is to be demolished and replaced with a new smaller structure. The proposal relocates the pump house and booster pumps, including the backup generator. This project will improve water storage capacity as required by the Washington State Department of Health. Approximately 100 cubic yards of construction fill will be installed around the base of the new reservoir to reduce visual impacts. Landscaping will also be installed around the site to help screen the structure. The subject property is zoned Rural Residential Resource 1-5 or RRR 1-5 in rural Thurston County. There is no residential development on this parcel. It is located on a resource use / open space parcel related to the adjacent subdivision named Holly Hills to the north of the subject parcel. The water reservoir and pump station are located within an easement that was granted to Thurston PUD. That's at attachment G. The site location is at the south side of the intersection between 47th Ave Northeast and Deerfield Park Road. There will be no noise associated with the replaced water reservoir tank, so there shouldn't be any noise disturbances to nearby residences. The proposed landscaping, when fully grown, should also help to buffer any potential noise. Notification, written notice of the public hearing was sent to all property owners within 500 feet of the site and others who had requested notice. Notice of the public hearing was published in the Olympian on January 13th, 2023. Just wanted to note there was an error here in the staff report. It says December 13th, 2023. It should be January. Okay. At least 10 days prior to the hearing, a notice of application was mailed to property owners within 500 feet of the site on May 18th, 2022. There are no critical areas on or near the site. The subject property is zoned RRR 1-5, Thurston County Code 20.54.070, Table 1, Item Number 29 indicates that public facilities are allowed in the RRR 1-5 zoning district with hearing examiner approval of a special use permit. Staff reviewed the general standards for all special uses, which is in TCC 21.54.040. That actually should be 20.54.040.
Yes.
And staff found the project to be consistent with these standards. There are no use specific standards for this type of proposal. In terms of the environmental review, the proposed special use permit was reviewed for compliance with the Thurston County Critical Areas Ordinance, Title 24, and no critical areas were identified. Previous staff who worked on the project determined that the project is exempt from State Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, for WAC 197-11-800. In terms of landscaping, based on staff's review of the proposed landscaping, which is the last page of attachment F, it meets all minimum standards for non-residential development. Commenting agencies, the Environmental Health Section of the Public Health and Social Services Department reviewed the project for compliance with health codes. The Environmental Health Comment Letter recommends conditions of approval, attachment L. The Thurston County Public Works Department reviewed the project and approved it with conditions per their memo dated December 19, 2022 at attachment M. Comments were also received from the Nisqually Tribe and Squaxin Tribe. No concerns were raised by the tribes. No comments were received from the Washington State Department of Ecology. Public comments, a number of comments and questions were received from a representative of the Holly Hills Homeowners Association at attachment P. The applicant provided detailed responses to their comments and questions at attachment Q. Staff believes the applicant adequately responded to the homeowners association's comments and questions regarding the project. As proposed in condition, the project is consistent with the Thurston County Comprehensive Plan and all applicable policies and ordinances. If the examiner finds that the criteria for approval are satisfied, staff recommends the 23 recommended conditions at the end of the staff report to ensure compliance with applicable development standards and regulations. And that concludes my introduction.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Just two questions, really. One isn't a question. It's more of a, it's kind of academic. Just, this is already an existing use, and the project, which is required by the State Department of Health, is kind of more of an, is it an expansion or is it a repair maintenance? Is my question. It's kind of an academic question. How is decided that this requires, this triggers a requirement for special use review?
What triggers the special use review?
The fact that the use already exists and that the reservoirs exist but are being replaced with a larger one. I'm just kind of struggling with the concept of whether this is replacement expansion or just repair maintenance type of discussion. Yeah, I know that's not very, like I said, it's not really a question. I'm just sort of looking at it. It's being replaced in kind with slightly bigger capacity.
Okay.
Your department determined that that was enough of a change to the property that that special use review is required, or is it because of the overall project with replacing the building and all the additional landscaping that all of that together triggered special use review?
Yeah, just basically almost the complete replacement of the project. Okay. This type of project just requires a special use permit per our code.
I'm sorry, that was a terribly inarticulate question. I'm just trying to have sort of like a thought conversation with you about it, and what you've said is perfectly adequate.
Okay.
Thank you. The other question is also similar academic question. I believe this is an essential public facility.
I haven't looked at that.
Okay.
In that way.
I just was going to note for the record if it was, if your department.
It's not something we considered.
Okay. It wasn't considered. I just would note that if it is an essential public facility, it would be a type 3, which according to code doesn't have any special notice requirements. That's because it just serves the immediate jurisdiction. It's not interjurisdictional, it's not a larger regional facility. All right. But your department doesn't really even consider it an essential public facility.
It's just not something we even considered.
Okay. That was it. Anything else you want to bring to my attention, Mr. McCormick?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. The materials are very thorough, so I don't have any other questions for you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me check with Mr. Saint. Was there anything in particular on this project you want to bring to my attention?
No, I have nothing to add.
Okay. I don't have questions for you either, sir. Thank you. I'm ready to hear applicant testimony. I don't know who would like to swear in first. Hello. Could you state and spell your name? Give me your correct job title and allow me to swear you in.
So it's Doug Peel. That's D-O-U-G-P-I-E-H-L. And I am the district engineer for Thurston Beauty.
Thank you very much. I will ask you to take an oath, sir. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Peel. Please go ahead.
So I think the staff report did an excellent job of presenting the case. In reference to your prior question, these facilities do supply drinking water to the immediate area, and we would consider it to be an essential public service.
Right. I believe in the materials you specify the amount of earthwork, and it was fairly low. Was it something like 100 cubic yards of grading?
Correct.
Okay. And from reading the application, which was nicely detailed, thank you for taking all the questions seriously. Not all applicants do. It looks like you're basically doubling the impervious surface area on site.
Officially, yes. Yes. Unofficially, there's a lot of area that's already used as such.
Right. Okay. So yeah, some of it's replacement impervious surface, and some of it's new. Right. But the number of existing times two is almost the number of proposed. So I was just noticing it's a huge site, so it's a tiny percentage of the parcel. And just to confirm, the two smaller reservoirs are not being retained and used. They're being completely removed.
Completely removed, yes.
And will there be any work needed off-site at all or within the right-of-way?
There is some work within the right-of-way. A new or an upgraded power service is needed. And so we intend to have that drilled beneath the right-of-way. And we'll be applying for a permit for such.
Great. And I think your materials say that after construction and after the project is completed, that the new reservoir will not generate any additional traffic. Is that correct?
That's correct. We'll continue to use the site in the same way it's used now.
Could I have some testimony just describing the plantings, what they are intended to look like at maturity, how long it's expected for them to reach their full screening capacity?
You know, to be honest, I don't have a lot of knowledge as far as how long it takes them to grow. The planting design was prepared by a landscape architect on our behalf. And so that's not something I'm overly knowledgeable in.
Just looking for some descriptive testimony that I could use. So it's not crucial that I get that. I was just trying to have more words from you for findings.
Certainly. I mean, our intent is that it screens the reservoir. The reservoir is only 20 feet tall. And I know a number of those plantings, decent sized trees and whatnot, but I think that's about all I can really comment on since I'm not real well versed in it.
And that's just fine. The only other question I had for applicants at all was whether you had any concerns about the recommended conditions of approval.
No, we do not.
Okay. Anything else? Did your other witness want to provide any testimony? No, she shakes her head no. All right. At this point, let me go to Ms. Katie and have her help asking our attendee if they'd like to provide comment.
Okay, and so that is Chris Hare. You're able to unmute yourself at this time if you would like to provide comment.
And in case you're not familiar, there's a mute button. It's the microphone. If you just tap the microphone, it will unmute you. On my screen, it's in the lower left-hand corner.
Thanks.
I'll just note for the record that Chris Hare is the author of the comments from the Homeowners Association that are in the record at attachment P. And so we do already have a substantial list of questions from Chris Hare that have been answered in writing by the applicants at attachment Q. And it would be great if you were able to unmute and let us know whether you have any additional questions or concerns or any comments on the responses you received. It's possible. Did this person have to accept promotion to panelist?
Not in this instance. I'm just giving them the permissions to speak to see if they'd like to comment.
So they may not even be at their computer just at the moment.
Oh, true. I can try that route.
Let's, we'll just take a beat and ask one more time. Chris Hare, are you unmuted now?
No, I moved them with the Zoom functions to see if they would like to attend as a
Panelist.
A panelist, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to see if they are at their computer. So it doesn't look like they're making an effort to rejoin, so.
I agree. All right. I will note that Chris Hare was in attendance but did not testify. And last call for comments from county staff. Anybody have anything to add?
Nope.
Thanks for letting me know. Last call for comments from applicant. Anything else you want to add for the record?
No, we don't.
All right. Thank you very much. Again, the application materials are very thorough, and I believe I have everything I need to issue a decision on the application. And so I will go ahead and close the record. As in the previous matter, it will be held open for 2 business days for written public comment from members of the public who tried to join but were unable to join or make comment for technology or access reasons. If there is no post-hearing comment submitted by the 26th, the record will close on the 26th. The decision is due February 9th. If we do receive post-hearing public comment, which I'm going to just say for the record, could be from Chris Hare, if Chris Hare is having difficulties that are technology oriented. If we receive comments by the 26th, staff and the applicant will have until January 30th to respond, and the 10-day decision issuance deadline becomes February 13th, 2023. I will email that schedule to Ms. Katie. She can forward it to you and post it online. That concludes our hearing. Sorry, everybody had to stand by. Thanks for waiting. Thank you for being here. That is it. Have a good day.